The reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to 6, chapter 6, verse 4. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
It'd be great if you've got your Bible with you to turn to that passage that Shirley's just read for us. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be looking at those first three verses this morning. It's on page 1177 if you've got a church Bible, 1177. And as we come to God's Word, we're going to pray again, asking that God will speak to us through his Word. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we've just sung together, your word is like a hammer and a fire. It breaks and it purifies. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that your word would do that in our lives. And to that end, we ask that your spirit will so shine into our hearts that our eyes will be opened, that we will see new things this morning, things that will make a difference in all of our lives. Heavenly Father, this morning we're going to think about this issue of parenting, of our children and their parents. And Lord, some of us might think straight away, that's not for me. We pray that each one of us will submit and be ready to learn from you, our God. Hear our prayers, Lord, we ask for your glory, for your honour, but also this morning, for the good of each and every one of us, whatever our circumstances, however old or young. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Joan. Well, in giving thanks for baby Reuben this morning, I plan to speak on the importance of parenting from this passage that Shirley has just read. With what's happened in the last week with Martin and Zoe, I've wondered and I've prayed whether that was actually the suitable thing, the right thing for us to do this morning. But in a sense, what's happened this week has painfully, sadly, painfully reminded us of the great privilege and the great struggles that come with parenting. Being a parent, clearly we're all aware this morning, isn't a game. It's hard work. It involves tears. Even in the good times, it involves tears. So perhaps this morning, this is a good opportunity for us to remind ourselves of parenting children, whether we're cradling them in our arms or whether we're cricking our necks looking up to them, is all about seeking to address their hearts. When we're dealing with our children, especially as we as parents are seeking to deal with children, we're called by God to aim at their hearts. As I prayed, some of us here this morning, we're not parents. Some of us have got children and they've long flown the nest, all grown up. Some of us here have got grandchildren. But if that's you this morning, please don't think that what I've got to say isn't for you. Every one of us here, we need to be encouraging and we need to be supporting parents, to be God-centered, to be heart-focused in their parenting. And let me say, without your prayers, we cannot do that. Over recent Sunday mornings, if you've been here in church, you know that we've been thinking about this whole area of heart religion. Remember that verse from Proverbs chapter 4? Above all else, says the wise preacher, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart above all else. Everything you do flows from it. The Christian life is all about the living God working in our hearts, bringing light where there was darkness, transforming our desires so that we no longer desire to worship God replacements, but rather we desire to worship the living God himself. Christianity, the Christian faith, is all about God working in our hearts. But what about our children? What about their hearts? It's true, isn't it? Children are so open in expressing what's in their hearts. They actually help to reveal what so often we as adults try and hide away. What is it that a parent is called to do by God? I want us to be clear right from the off this morning that however much we might desire it, it is not the job of a parent to change a child's heart. It's not the job of a parent to change a child's heart. You just can't do it. You can do a lot of things for your child as a parent, but you cannot change their heart. We've said over the past few weeks, actually, we can't change our own hearts, let alone the hearts of someone else. But just like you and me, our children do need to do business with a living God. And it's the role of parents. God has put parents in place to set up that meeting between a child and their God, to minister to our children so that we create opportunities, occasions where God can be at work in their hearts. So whatever else we're called to do as parents, and there are lots of things, aren't there? God has called us to point our children time and time and time again to him as the only one who can satisfy their hearts. And one of the primary ways that we're called to do that is to show them that every one of us, thanks Joan, every one of us is born under authority. We are all born under authority. We've seen this morning, baby Reuben is totally dependent upon Brian and Anne. Brian and Anne didn't just carry Reuben around the church so he could be at a nice height for you to see him without stretching your necks. He wouldn't have been able to do it on his own. Wouldn't have been able to walk around the church on his own this morning. A young child is totally dependent upon its parents. And yet, from a child's earliest days, they've got that amazing ability to be learning and developing. They really are like sponges. That's the phrase, isn't it? We use often, constantly watching and learning at a phenomenal rate. Just think of a child our Joel's age, 2 or 3, and they're putting words into longer and longer sentences. They'll run up to you and they'll say, Daddy, Daddy, I runned to you. I runned to you instead of I ran to you. You know, we find that amusing, don't we? But just think about what that young child is actually doing. They're taking the present tense of a verb to run, and they're then using the general grammatical rule to put it into the past tense, adding ed on the end. That's the general rule. You get a present tense verb to run, add ed on the end, and you usually get the past tense. Obviously, it's different with run. By the age of 3, a child has figured all of that out on their own. Nobody sat down and done a formal lesson with them. They've watched, they've listened, they're developing, and that's amazing. As a child develops, so too is its heart. As they observe the world around them, they're not just developing their minds and bodies. Their hearts are developing as well. This is what I want. This is what I like. This is what I want to do. This is who I want to be. And because that's true, that child who's totally dependent upon you as a parent, whose heart is being continually shaped, needs you to direct their hearts in the right way. Just like when you plant a tender plant in the ground, you'll put a stake next to it to ensure the plant grows in the right direction. Every child needs to understand from its youngest years that they are born into a world of authority. If you're a parent here this morning, you need to impress upon your child from day one that they will never, ever, ever be in charge. That they've been born into a world where they will never have the ultimate authority. That every one of us, old and young, are always under God's authority. And God uses people as agents of his authority. We don't get to wear a badge, but if you're a parent, you're God's representative of his authority over your child. The reality is, we know how difficult it is as mum and dads to come out with something like this. When the pressure's on, what do we say? I'm the boss. Don't tell your children that. You're not doing their heart any good. Jesus is the boss in your home. You've got no independent authority other than the authority that God gives you. You've got no authority over your child. Children are a gift from God, and your authority over your children is merely the outworking of God's authority over them. You're God's representative to your child. So Paul says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Be under no delusion as to how important this is. And yet at times, it seems like mission impossible. Sometimes as a parent, it seems as though you're in a constant battle with just who has the authority in your house. Far better for those authority battles to happen while your child's still in nappies, rather than when they're a teenager towering over your head. Parents, we are called to teach our children that they are not the ruler in their world. God is. Just think for a moment. As a society, we hate authority, don't we? We hate authority. Why should I listen to you? Why should I listen to them? And sadly, our leaders, our religious, our political, our civil leaders, they give authority such a bad press. But we know you need to show our children the submission to God's authority. It's not constraining, it's not bondage, it's actually freedom. Every one of us, we've said in previous weeks, we're born to worship. We're natural born worshippers. We were born to be dependent on the God who made us, born to submit to him. That's the way life is supposed to work. But what does submitting to God look like for a child? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the way God has created things to work. God's created a circle of protection for our children to exist in. Living in that circle of protection that God's created is the good life for a child. We're not to express our authority over our children in a way that gets our children to be our servants. That's tempting, isn't it? Go and get me slippers. Go and tell your mum this. Do that. Do this. Do the other. That's not using God's authority. That's bullying. We're to express authority over our children in the way that God's set up so that they can live in that circle of protection and safety, knowing that danger comes when they step out of that circle. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What does that obedience look like? What kind of obedience does God ask of children? Thanks, Joe. I've got a definition of that. I don't know whether you can read it on the screen. I'm going to read it a couple of times so that we can hear it and think about it and maybe laugh or shake our heads. An obedient child willingly submits to their parents, doing what they are told without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. An obedient child willingly submits to their parents, doing what they are told, without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. That's what obedience to parents should look like. That's what we see perfectly in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ as he obeys his Father's will. Now, perhaps if you're a parent here this morning, you're looking up at that screen and you're thinking, yeah, right. I can honestly say that obedience in the Thomas house doesn't always look like cheerful, unchallenged, immediate obedience. But that doesn't mean we should change the goalposts. That doesn't mean that we should concentrate on doing something else that's just going to be easier to do for all of us. No, God calls your children to obey you as parents. And you're hurting your child if you're allowing them to rebel. You see, this isn't just one of those parenting choices. Well, some parents do things this way. Some parents do things that way. No, we're damaging our children if we allow them not to submit to us. When our children don't submit to us, all they're doing is continually reinforcing in their hearts and their minds, I'm the boss, I'm the ruler, I do what I want in my world. And we can be sure the two-year-olds and three-year-olds who are left to think that they're in control of their lives, that they're the boss, all too quickly they're going to become teenagers and then they're going to become adults who want to rule their world. This needs to be addressed early on. Willingly submitting without challenge and without excuse and without delay. I wonder whether you think that just seems so impossible. When our children challenge our authority, when they challenge our authority, what are they trying to do? Well, they're trying to be in our place. They're trying to be the parents, aren't they? In that relationship, when they challenge your authority. And the easy thing to do is just to get into an argument with them. A contest over who's the strongest, who's the loudest, who's the cleverest, who's got the best answers. And parent, you may well, I hope you will, you'll win a lot of those arguments. You're not going to help your child's heart at all, are you? You're not going to address their heart at all in those arguments. We need to sit with our children. We need to tell them that there is a problem. Son, you're trying to be the dad in this home. And son, if you're the dad, then that means you haven't got a dad. Do you really want to live without a dad in your life? Children are to willingly submit without challenge. And they're to do it without excuse. Kids, come and get your tea. I didn't hear you, Mum. Kids, come and put your toys away. Oh, I forgot to do it. The reality is, disobedience is rarely due to a bad memory or bad hearing. You can whisper the word chocolate in our house and the kids, even if they're outside playing, they'll dash in. We're all experts, every one of us, we're experts at creating excuses to just ease our conscience. And by the time we get to adult, we're usually about perfecting it. If our children see us as making excuses in our lives for the things that we know that we shouldn't have done, why on earth should we be surprised if our children just copy us? It's good for all of us, every one of us in church this morning. It's good for us to have those people in our lives that we're accountable to. Those people who will challenge us when we're excusing sin in our lives. You should have people in your life who fulfill that role. And God has given children parents in order to fulfill that role. Willing submission, without excuse, and without delay. I won't tell you again to eat your food. This is the last warning. Eat those carrots. Does that sound familiar? Children love to push the boundaries, don't they? Kids love to see how far they can push things. But that battle at the dinner table, it's not just about food. It's about authority. It's about our children coming to terms with the reality that they are not the boss. As sinners, our children, they don't like authority. In 4 years, none of my children have come up to me and said, Dad, I love it when you command me to do something. Children's hearts, they don't desire authority. They desire autonomy. They want to be independent. They want to choose. They want to choose what they think's best. Don't let your children swallow the lie that they can rule their own lives. They need to see their need of the living God. parent, God's given you the responsibility of showing your children that she is, that she never will be the boss. That he or she was made to submit to the living God. And they learn to submit to the living God by learning to submit and obey their parents. And let me just say, really practically, we need to help our children in doing this. This is not a case of they're on that side of the fence and we're here. This is a case of us together as parents, as adults, helping children to learn to obey. It's so easy, isn't it? I find it anyway. It's so easy to have so many rules that you make in a home as a parent. So many rules that, in fact, the child doesn't know whether they're coming or going, or they just think they can't do anything at all. And so at the bottom there, I put, let's keep it simple. A friend of ours who's in his 50s or probably 60s now, he tells us he can still remember the three rules in his house that he grew up with. Just three rules, but 50 years later, he remembers them. Don't disobey, don't lie, and don't disrespect your mum. Don't disobey, don't lie, don't disrespect your mum. Simple rules. It's not us versus them. We're to help our children in their obedience, learning obedience. But the second way that God's ordained for children to live in that circle of protection is to honour their parents. Verse 2. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. What is honour? What's honour? Well, I've put something of a definition up there. Honour is treating my parents with respect and esteem because of their God-appointed position of authority. Honour is treating my parents with respect and esteem because of their God-appointed position of authority. Every parent should want to be worthy of respect. After all, we're representing God to our children. Paul goes on to say, fathers, do not exasperate your children. But we're living in a society today, in our world, in our culture. And the motto of our culture is this: I can't respect anyone unless they've earned it first. I'm sure you've heard that. You may have said it yourself. I can't respect you until you've earned my respect. Friends, I've said before, that's just not biblical. My child's level of respect for me isn't tied to my perfection as a father. I'm a sinner. Therefore, I'm a sinful dad. But my children are called to respect me all the same because of my position that God's placed me in as a father. Just think, last weekend, during that sunny weekend, that Jubilee celebration, we saw lots and lots of respect for our Queen, didn't we? Even though some of us may not agree with everything she does or agree with everything she says. In fact, some people in the country, they don't agree with lots that the Queen says. And yet we're to respect her because of who she is, because of her position. And children are called to obey and honour their parents because they're God's representatives. Imperfectly so, but God's representatives to them all the same. My kids don't need me to be their mate, their friend, their buddy. My kids are going to have plenty of friends, plenty of mates, plenty of buddies. But my children will only ever have two parents. And perhaps I think maybe us dads need to take this to heart especially. Maybe mum's been with the children all day. She's been in the thick of the action. Maybe picking them up from school, and there's been 101 problems she's had to deal with as a mum. And then dads, we come home from work and we're tired and we're stressed. And all we want to do is spend, sometimes it's half an hour, sometimes it's even less than that, just some good time, fun time with our children. But if you're just your kid's friend, your kid's mate, and not a father, you're doing them no favours at all. They're missing out. They need a dad to honour and obey. And that's why God has put you there. And that doesn't mean we need to be all formal. Doesn't mean we need to be serious all of the time. But it does mean that some things are going to be inappropriate in that child-parent relationship that would be fine between two children or two adults. Even in the most fun of times, we are still, as parents, called to be mums and dads. They're still to be our children. And that's really important. God has put a sense of structure in his world, and he wants it to be clear. It's so easy for us to confuse our children by demanding that they obey us when we're doing this, and then saying, well, it's all right, you don't need to do what I say when we're over here. How could we expect our children to honour us with obedience when we're screaming at them not to go further into a deep flowing river, when actually all day long we've been sitting on the riverbank losing our authority, throwing away our honour by telling them, kids, you can do what you want. Our children need to know that parents command children and children don't command parents. Here's another few familiar words to some of us. Get me a sandwich. I want that toy now. That's not living within that circle of protection, is it? Under the protection that God has established for our children. Children need to learn to give away authority in their lives. They need to learn that they're always and they always will be under God's authority. They need to be, and we as parents, we need to be convinced of that in our own lives. And we need to show our children that self-sufficiency is a lie. That we don't have all that we need to live as we're supposed to live, to do what we're supposed to do. We see that all of the time, that craving for self-sufficiency. We see it in our house a lot of the time. It usually involves shoes. Naomi and Joel there trying to put their shoes on. Now they can get them on the right feet. And you go to help them with their laces. And it's, no, Dad, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And those kids at 3 or 4, they can fiddle all day long with those laces, but they're not going to be able to tie a knot in them. None of us, the truth is, are self-sufficient, are we? We were made to be. We were made to ultimately be dependent upon God. As sinners, we refuse to accept that we are needy. That's what our children are like. And some of us older ones haven't learned that lesson either. Needing help is not wrong. Let me say that again, because that's so important for all of us, isn't it? Needing help isn't wrong. It's not sinful. We were made to be needy. And what we said a few weeks ago, Adam and Eve in that garden before they ever fell, before they ever sinned, they needed God's help. This issue of authority is a massive issue. Some of us have given away authority. Some of us need to sit down with our children and talk about this. As parents, we need to own our mistakes. We need to point our children to God, to the Saviour, to Christ. Children are to obey and honour their parents. And Paul says that will bring blessing. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you. Doing things God's way brings respect and trust and friendship and freedom and responsibility and opportunity. When children submit to living within that circle of protection that God set up for them, blessings come. That's the way God's designed his world. You follow the way God's designed his world, and generally speaking, things will work out better than if you don't. You use a drill the way that it was meant to be used, and you'll make many holes, you'll build many things, you'll be creative. You use a drill in the wrong way to clean your teeth, and there'll be a lot less to smile about. God has designed his world so that we need to learn to submit to authority when we're young, when we're in that circle of protection. So that as we grow, so that as responsibility comes our way, we'll be able not just to cope, but to flourish. Parents, surely we want to give our children that kind of blessing. The reality is at times our children are hell-bent on failure. And in loving them, we need to put those basic building blocks in place. Teaching them that they'll never be the boss. Teaching them that they will always be under God's authority. Parent, God has given you your child so that you can model God to them. God has given your child to you so that you can model God to them. So that in learning to obey and honour you, they might see how they need to learn to obey and honour their Father in heaven. What legacy are we building for our children? What seeds are we planting? What harvest are we expecting?
Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That doesn't mean that our kids are going to live to 120 if they obey. But it does mean that God will bless. Live God's way and you'll be blessed. Friends, this morning we're aware, aren't we, that that doesn't mean no pain, no suffering, no difficulties, no hardship. God doesn't put a magical force field around his people that just deflect difficulties and pain. But even in the midst of suffering, God blesses those who behave the way he desires. Parent, this morning, you're involved in a great rescue mission, rightly exercising your God-given authority. Disciplining your child is part of a great rescue, part of a great restoration. And we're to be appealing to our child's heart, providing them with a framework, the opportunities for them to do heart business with God. Our discipline should never, ever, ever be an expression of our anger or our irritation or our impatience. If my discipline to my children is merely ever my expression of anger, my kids are soon going to learn just to read my mood. Let's not do anything dodgy now. He's in a bad mood. Oh, he's in a good mood. We can get away with it. If my discipline to my children is actually just all about me, how I'm feeling, how I've been hurt, how I've been inconvenienced, how I've been put out, I'm not seeking to deal with my child's heart at all, am I? I can honestly say that in the past 4 years, the lesson that I hope Jenny and I have been taught time and time and time again is that the first step in disciplining our children and their hearts is that we've got to learn to discipline our own hearts first. The first step in disciplining a child's heart is to ensure that you've disciplined your own heart first. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. Friends, parents, all of us, we need to pray for great wisdom. We want our children to learn their foolish ways are so dangerous, so that their hearts will turn from that foolishness. So that they'll see that we were never meant to be self-sufficient. So that they don't have to live for themselves, but they can live the way they were meant to live. Not on their own, but in dependence upon God. So that they come to understand they were never meant to be autonomous, doing what they want, making up their own rules, living as a totally independent authority. But that they were made to come and to listen to and to bow down before and to worship the God who created them. That's what every one of us in church this morning were made to do. We cannot save our children. We cannot change their hearts. God alone can do it. But we can indeed, we will shape and we will mold their lives. In carrying out our God-given role as parents in authority over our children, are we merely just getting our kids to do what we want them to do, to be our slaves, behaving this way, behaving this way, behaving this way? Or are we seeking to teach them from their youngest years that there's a God whom they're accountable to? That there's a day coming when the deeds of every one of us will be judged, and that left to ourselves, we cannot live the lives that we were meant to live, and that we need a rescuer. We need a saviour. We need somebody to change our hearts. And his name is Jesus. And he came to deal with our hearts. He came as a perfect son in full obedience to his father. He came to die on a cross. He came to die for people like you and me, for young and old, so that we might be acceptable to the living God. He came to be obedient where we can't be obedient. Friends, we're to direct our own hearts, and we're to direct the hearts of our children to him time and time again. In God's grace, in God's strength, may we be enabled to do that as parents, and as those maybe if without parents or as children have grown up, may that be the prayer, your prayer, for those parents in our church family this morning. Let's pray, shall we?
Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, whoever we are, whatever our circumstances, that we will be aware that we are not the boss. Oh, Heavenly Father, some of us are in old age and we struggle to deal with that truth. We want to do things our way. We want to live as how we want to live. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that each one of us will submit to the living God. And we pray for those who have been given that responsibility of parenthood. Oh, Lord, we pray that we will be seeking to deal with our children's hearts. We pray, Lord God, that we will be seeking to teach them submission, to honour and to obey their parents, in order that they might learn to honour and obey and submit and worship the living God who made them. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for each one of us, whether we're parents or not, that this will be upon our hearts, that you will cause to be a prayerful people in this respect, so that we might see that next generation growing up being strong men and women of the living God, far better men and women of God than maybe we have been, for your glory, for the furtherance of the kingdom of Jesus. Hear our prayers. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.